morning. Today is Monday, October the 29th. Joining us this morning, Mr. Arkley. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Bri. How are you?
Good. Do you remember this? I mean, it's been a couple of months.
Why do we say it?
Okay. Okay. I don't want to...
The quote of the day?
I don't want to truly spring it on you. Let's see. All right, old timer.
Good.
How did the Bobby Soxers get their name?
Gotta be because of the policeman.
When young girls adopted the custom of wearing half socks, they devised the name Bobby Socks for them, since they were bobbed to half length.
Oh, I like it.
The term was then extended to the teenagers themselves, and they became Bobby Soxers.
That's really good.
There you go. Now you got something you can talk to Sherry about.
Yeah. Among other things.
Yeah. I would presume it's not going to be number one on the agenda. Huh?
Well, actually, it might be.
So you don't forget it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Fall is here.
Yeah. It got nice and cold. The ducks are around, and everything's fun.
Happy, happy times, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
What kind of read do your buddies have? I have an acquaintance. It's about as close as I can get the synagogue shooting. He lives half a block away from it.
Well, that's close.
Yeah. But with some of these... And I guess those are more indications of the polarization that's going on and the tightness that everybody is with anything associated with politics. Do you find that the case throughout the country? Or is it just what we're hearing and just in the areas where we're familiar with personally?
I don't find it throughout the country. I do find the left to be incredibly intolerant these days. They preach tolerance and they... act with absolute viciousness if you disagree with them.
I'm also sensing from some folks that the conservatives are the same way also, tending that way. Not that they're to the same extent, but that there's less dialogue going on now.
Well, that's a great point. But I think what's happened is the left has classically... rolled over to the... I mean, strike that. The right has classically rolled over to the left, and Trump...
Hit your head last week, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, I've got a nice head full of cold.
Oh, good.
But
get closer.
Yeah. Whoa. But I think what's happened is Trump has taught the right how to fight, and the left has not yet changed their playbook. They're so used to getting their way that it's not working, and so consequently they're kind of shocked as to the pushback they're getting.
So one is stepping up, the other isn't moving, and so
that's it.
We're just getting a little tighter.
Is creating the confluence of events. And
with the reporting of information, I won't call it news.
It's not news.
With information, let me step back. You got a lot of information, a lot of us don't.
Okay.
Now, when it starts being reported through the traditional media or out in the mainstream, is it getting closer to representing the accuracy now because of being held accountable over the last 18 months or not?
Absolutely not. It's advocacy-based, and the media predominantly is left, so it's very left advocacy. They don't know how to handle Trump. They don't understand the Trump voter. And so the left is just kind of lost these days. I'm just watching it going, are you really think you're being productive?
National as well as regional, state, and local reporting?
Yeah, especially national.
Okay, that one's kind of a given.
Yeah.
Regional and state, are you seeing the same? Because in the past, you know, and I'll put this one in quotes, the good old days.
Yeah.
CBS, okay. That was then seen as an example, or NBC or ABC. That was the standard, and we all tried to emulate that presentation of the information without flavoring. And then we started getting into commentary, and then it kind of went down that hill. Do you see the local and the regionals in some of the areas that you go to? Are they trying to emulate the national, or are they trying to eliminate the adjectives and the adverbs?
I think the locals all but been eliminated. Look at the Times Standard who reads it? I mean, I guess some people read Lost Coast. And I just don't know. Local news is getting more, less relevant and more dispersed. I think it's pretty easy to peg an issue locally and run with it. But if you're just going to run a generic campaign, it's not an easy world in which either the right or the left lives.
What about, let's say, just business information? Let's say, take it away from the political pool, if you will, and just regular guy stuff. Business up, business down, expansions, contractions, that type of news.
It's devolved to gossip. And I spend half my day going through production numbers of SN and that, and then I spend my other, about a third, a quarter of the day on the phone with, I guess you can call them competitors, but just talking and just trying to get a peg for the field on what's going on. It's pretty, everyone says, well, the internet has created information democracy. It has, but it's also isolated us.
Interesting. Democracy, I would argue that it's more of a mob.
Oh, you're so spot on.
Rather than anything else. So we'll continue this in a moment. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. Guess who will be back?
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, it's interesting some of the different themes that play out in news and in commentary. Obviously, there's certain things that make a ton of sense. But it's like this, after the first break, what's covered there?
Yeah.
That, to me, is more of a barometer of where folks are as we move into our second break.
Yeah.
I just realized that one. Whoops. Oh, what do you think is going to be the defining issues or topics when we think about the election and next Tuesday?
Immigration. Now, and you'd think it would be the economy. The Democrats are talking about pre-existing conditions. I don't think people are plugged into that. I deal with it nationally. I'm not saying it. Immigration is a hot button issue.
It was pointed out over the weekend, a couple of the programs, that the traditional immigrant looking for sanctuary, I guess would be seems to be the word these days, are being prosecuted and persecuted for certain reasons, but that this group that's moving up through Mexico, it's more of an economic, and there's just poverty in their country, so they're looking to go somewhere where poverty isn't as prevalent. Economic. Not because they're being singled out or anything else. And the barometer that was used was they're waving their home country flag as they're walking. Normally, that doesn't occur. So even a word like immigration, which is pretty simple, pretty straightforward, doesn't seem to have been able to avoid the redefinition and the
politicization. How's that?
There's an extra syllable in there somewhere that I couldn't figure out. Yeah,
you tagged it.
Yeah. Everything is changing.
Well, number one, the only thing that is restraining the market between $15 an hour market-based minimum wage and a mandated minimum wage is illegal immigration. In other words, if we don't have illegal immigrants, wages go up. It's that simple. There are not enough employees. And so I think that's great. Let's limit it. Let's raise the middle class. Instead, these illegal immigrants, I guess the Democrats want them for a voting block at some point. But frankly, they drive down wages. Why do we want that? I don't get it.
Cape Cod last week, and they were coming out of the season, the tourist season.
Yes.
Okay, so it was the first reporting cycle of unemployment. 1.2% the month after tourism, when they normally downsize. 1.2%.
Basically, that's a friendly zero.
Yeah, well, and the question is, how do you find people?
Well,
and how do you find people
pay them more.
With an economic ROI so that it's not just paying
they're
more.
They're going to have to raise their wages. They're going to have to raise their costs. I don't think raising wages is a bad thing. If you have a business that is mandated and only exists because of cheap labor, you may have a broken model.
Which might be what we're experiencing here locally with the marijuana trades.
Well, we've hired spectacular people at SN. We're up to about 165, and we have another 10 or 15 to hire. And they're just spectacular people. And do we pay more than $15 an hour? Yes, proudly. But I don't understand models that are dependent on cheap labor. That's what Trump's tariff issue is about, so we can raise wages and people can't dump products on us using their comparative advantage of lower wages.
See, I thought you were going to mention tariff.
I did.
As the issue rather than immigration.
I don't think.
Because that's how it's being positioned and pigeonholed, and we're starting to see some of the Chinese made materials starting to creep up in their cost. I thought that was going to be the thing.
That's going to happen, and that is the advantage of low unemployment here in the United States. We'll be able, as their costs go up and the tariffs take impact, we'll be able to raise our wages. We've got to get our middle class back, and the best way to do it is through the tariff tool.
What kind of timeline?
6 months.
Really that quickly?
Yeah. Well, see, when everyone talks about the Smoot-Hartley bill in the late 20s that was tariff-based and how it crushed our economy. Well, back then, we were a lot more dependent on exports than we are now. We're about a third as dependent on exports as we were back then. So it's not apt to have the global bite on our economy that it did back then.
Is that something that won't cause a response elsewhere, or do you see this as an escalator?
Oh, it's going to respond, but we're the biggest, and we'll get our way. Ultimately, there are losers in this. The farmers, it's no fun for farmers, but it'll all normalize. We've been getting screwed.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag, by Murphy's, by Redec, and Humble Termite and Pest Control. Rob, the challenge with the farmers or with the ag community, because there's the Midwest farmers and then there's the California Central Valley farmers. Different crops, but certainly in the same general bailiwick. Tariffs are an increased cost to business. Okay, it's, I would suggest, an artificial cost to business, just like the wage factor is too. How do new startup businesses? What would you suggest to them, as far as a strategy on what to do, how to do, and even what kind of business to select, with Amazon and Google and those guys, being the elephants now. Throw in Walmart and Target, and that's got to represent a huge percentage of retail.
Yeah, but efficiency and technology are the secrets going forward. Am I terrified of Amazon? I'm not terrified of Amazon as a retailer. I'm more terrified about their Facebook, Twitter,
content,
Facebook
management.
It's all about content management and influencing messaging. That part concerns me. As far as competing head on head with them, offer a better service. You do offer service. You have a lot of advantages. If your only advantage is price, you're screwed anyway. And so that's a bad model. I would encourage everyone new, why are you better? What are you going to do that will distinguish you from, put a moat around your business from Amazon?
And that's, I suppose, the $95 question in the equation. To me,
well, I
also
think this is wide open. I think it's the wild, wild west for new businesses. We've never seen such opportunity.
Because of the technology?
Yeah. I think your ability to compete is unbelievable.
One of the things that I find very intriguing is segments of the population that will go to Amazon first. And that becomes the reference point then for the service or the price point. And if you beat it, you beat it. If you don't, you don't. Rather than understanding, and I think it might be starting to dawn, because I get some head bobs on this one now, that these guys are basically eviscerating Main Street USA on the retail side. So consider all the implications of your purchase. I mean, buy local is kind of first level thought instead of going a little bit further down. I think once sales tax goes across the board and internet-based businesses aren't treated as an exceptional category, maybe then things start changing a little bit. I don't know.
Well, number one, the buy local thing is just a form of protectionism, isn't it?
Or
discretionary,
or education, too.
Discretionary protectionism.
Yeah.
I don't know how many local businesses are being crushed by Amazon. I have my doubts. I think people are still in really good businesses and they're making a lot of money. I see it everywhere I go. If you're buying a commodity, you probably going to Amazon is a very rational thing to do. But if you're...
So has that replaced the big box?
I think the big box...
Has the option instead of going...
The big box and Amazon are going toe-to-toe, and they're going to fight for a while.
Single survivor out of the battle?
No. No, Walmart has enough money to go, toe-to-toe for a long time, and so does Amazon. So I don't think there's a single survivor.
So how do you niche, other than with the, I mean, technology is great on the cost containment side, but on the revenue generation side or the gross development side of the business equation, how do you get about that?
I think that's hard. I think you have to be ready to really have a specialized niche that you can do volume and you can be efficient. And that, I don't think it's a bad time. I think it's a pretty good time.
As you look at the economy, it certainly reflects that also.
I think so.
If you don't have a model that is locked into the 40s or the 50s.
Correct.
The farmers. I mean, getting back to, you know, getting
farmers
out there.
Farmers are pretty efficient these days.
Yeah, but you need to have so much, the family farm model.
Probably broken.
I don't know if the number, if the footprint has to be so large that you can't do it with just the family anymore.
It's probably broken. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. You see town after town that way in the Midwest.
Is there anybody coming in and backfilling into those?
Yeah, the yuppies are coming in like mad, and they're getting new, better schools, and they're buying $50,000 houses and taking vacations everywhere they go.
The Detroit renovation model? Or Pittsburgh
Detroit's
and some of those?
Different. Those are urbanized cities. These are cities that basically were ready to be dusted away.
So you think, like, not that there really is one, Scarecrow, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Just a small, there may have been a train line coming through at one point, but not anymore.
Probably will make it. Probably will make it. I know that sounds funny.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. So what are your predictions for Tuesday next week? Do you think that...
Pick up 3 in the Senate, hold the House.
Is that... What about at the state levels?
We're going to be okay at the state levels. Couple of gubernatorial races. I think Scott Walker is going to lose, not because of his policies, but because he's kind of he's just been out there too long. And
so voter fatigue?
Voter fatigue is right. I think Cordray is going to lose in Ohio, and he's a bad guy.
What about Cruz?
Cruz wins easy. 10-15. I don't see there will be Democrat pickups, but I just don't see a blue wave any way, shape, or form. Locally, it's hard to know because it's such a dispersed database. I don't think the ward system is effective for a town as small as we are.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to have
critical mass.
160,000
or
200,000.
Yeah, we don't have critical mass for 25,000. Person town, forget it. It doesn't work. Yeah. And they know it. It's foolishness. The one thing I know is it's pretty easy. Right now there's no hot button issue in Humboldt County. From I guess you could say that the Propo is a hot button issue. And
well, or
certainly
what it is addressing.
Quality of life is important and it does do that. But overall, I think there isn't a super hot button issue. California is getting more conservative at a dramatic rate, and it's being unrepresented by its elected officials.
I was going to ask you about the gubernatorial race between Cox and Newsom.
Well, Cox will lose, but it's the tipping point of politics in California.
Do you think it'll be closer than what it has been?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just don't see it. California's become a joke. Used to be California was innovative and people followed. It's just a laugh-off now. And it's got the dumbest legislators, and it's got the most extreme policies. We are a third world nation. We're the fifth largest economy, and all we have are the very wealthy and the rest. And the rest is poor.
I'm curious to see, and I think my barometer on state level offices will be when there are viable candidates in our area on both sides. Nothing is seated anymore. There's a viable congressional candidate. There's a viable, guys that are funded, and you get legit races for state assembly and state senate and for the Congress.
I don't think as long as we have a map that includes Marin, we will have that vision on in our area. I just think electorally we are what we are. We're going to be a liberal district, and it's a race to the left. I mean, Jared Huffman is just what he is. And
so you don't think until it's redistricted that there's much option?
There is not.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, bud. Always great, and it's a great day in Humboldt County.
Nice to have you back.
All right, bud.
See everybody tomorrow.